Welcome to Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship's Marrow of the Message, a summary of the message preached June 3rd, 2012. And the title of the message is Reset. And if you don't like that title, you can call it Our Sovereign All. Or if you don't like that title and you want a little more detail, The Sovereign Fullness of Worth, Dignity, Delight, and Pleasure of Christ. Our main focus will be on Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. But I want to take a moment just to look at Isaiah chapter 55, which asks the question in the first three verses of what are you spending your life on? What is it that you seek and pursue for worth, dignity, and delight? What are those things that cause you to pursue pleasure? And I would submit to you that the Scripture tells us from beginning to end that Christ Jesus is the fullness of worth. In Him is dignity. In Him is the fullness of delight. In Him is the fullness of pleasure. Isaiah 55 tells us as much. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Now remember, this is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate, speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And He says, come, all you who are thirsty. Who of you listening today could say, my soul has never thirsted for fullness? Well, I know for sure, because God has made you in such a way that you do thirst, and there's only one source of fullness, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen again. Come, all you who are thirsty. All you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. And eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I want us to refocus. I want our attention, our delight, our joy, our pleasure, our hope, our hearts, our minds, our fingers, our toes, our eyes, our ears, our lips, our hair, and everything else. That is us. I want everything to be set on our all. And that all is outside of ourselves. This all I speak of is the all, and that is Christ. He is the all. He's the everything. God's all and everything. God's highest joy and delight and pleasure, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the ruler of heaven and earth, the one who has purchased us through the redemption that came by His shed blood. My prayer for us and for you and for me, all of us, that Christ would become more and more and more and more and most our all, our everything, our purpose, our joy. We have a struggle, and it's a struggle. It's a battle of the mind. Every human has it. John Calvin says that the heart, the human heart, is an idol forge or an idol factory. The problem Paul had when he went to Athens was something common to all people whenever they came to Athens. They said it's easier to find an idol than it was to find a man. That kind of frames our struggle. We pursue things that are lesser gods. We pursue those things which we think will bring fulfillment. But the Bible tells us that for us who are in Christ Jesus and who have believed, and for you who are far off, that in Christ dwells the fullness of God in bodily form. We see this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. But listen to what the Scripture says regarding Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. This is only a small portion of what the Scripture says about Christ. I begin in the middle of a verse. Giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified you giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're going to come back here in just a minute, but a couple of things. God the Father has qualified us, and he's qualified us through Jesus Christ, and the scripture says, the Son he loves. Verse 15, he, who is this one, the Son he loves, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Or you might read it better in the Greek, so I understand, to say, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. May our hearts be pricked and willing to put away all the Christless pursuits, that we may pursue our sovereign all in all things, in everything. And the Bible, I think, makes an irrefutable case for the infinite worth and fullness of Christ, which should encourage us to put away the lesser pursuits, the terminal pursuits of life, the things that do not bring life, but the things that lead to death. But I think we can ask a few questions. Number one, why must Christ become our all? First, Christ must become our all, our everything, because number one, no one loves, values, or cherishes the Son more than the Father. So if Christ is God's most loved, beloved, and valued, and cherished person, the highest joy of the Father, it is, then it behooves us to place the same magnitude on the glory of Christ. This relationship between the Father and Son, according to the Scripture, is the most unique relationship. It is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten of the Father. Begotten, not created. He was not created, but begotten, the one and only Son. How does that work? I don't understand it. But we believe that the Scripture makes clear he was not created, but begotten. He is God of very God. See, there was controversy hundreds of years ago when Arius purportedly, and I believe it's to be true because he was declared a heretic, had rationalized through the Scriptures that Jesus wasn't God, but was created as a human and became divine. But the Scripture teaches us without question that he is the image of the invisible God. There is nothing lacking in Christ. He's incomparable. He's incomprehensible. The communion that between the Father and the Son is like no one else, not like you, not like me. Matthew 11:27 says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. We may say that we desire to know God, and we should pursue the knowing of God, but the Son knows him fully. There's nothing held back. The Father knows the Son fully and completely. There's nothing held back. It is the most full and harmonious, intimate fellowship between the Father and the Son. John 1:18 says, no one has ever seen the Father, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, in the heart of the Father, who has made him known. The Son has made him known. Every secret, every thought belonging to the Father is fully possessed by the Son. Get that? Every secret, every thought, every plan, every intention belongs to the Father is fully possessed by the Son with full, complete comprehension. John 5:20 says, "The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, all that he is doing. Nothing is withheld from the Son. My Son doesn't know all my purposes, and I don't either for that matter. But nothing is withheld from the Son. Every purpose and every possession of the Father is perfectly entrusted to and cherished by the Son. It goes even a step further than just knowing the purpose, but cherishing the purpose of the Father. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hand. This relationship is the most full and harmonious of unity and of purpose between the Father and Son. John 10:17 says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." We have to remember, according to Scripture, that God has an eternal plan wherein He has predestined His elect to be saved. And it came by way of the death of the Son, dying on the cross, shedding His blood, and the Son was in full agreement, fully harmonious in His agreement, in unity of purpose with the Father. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. I'm 100% behind and in and involved in loving the eternal purpose, the electing purpose of the Father, according to His grace, without reservation. The Father is delighted to exalt Christ the Son to the highest place, to hold nothing back. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 and 1:6 teach us that He is infinitely above the angels, and all the angels worship Him. The joy and delight and pleasure of the Father is in fact the exaltation of the Son. You can read this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, where it says, "The Father is pleased to put His name far above all other names, and that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." The highest name under heaven is the name Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. So pleased is the Father with the Son that He has been crowned with glory and honor, holding nothing back. No honor is withheld by the Father in the Son. And He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's added glory to glory by being the perfect God-man, having been raised from the dead, and the Father is pleased to add this glory to Jesus Christ the Lord. The question is, do you love Him today? Do I love Him today? Do you cherish Him? Do you delight in Him? Do you find Him your all, your everything? If He's increasingly your all, then you'll find things of this earth to be less important. We'll find it not as important for us to be somebody. We'll end terminal pursuits. We'll cease, as C.S. Lewis said, we'll cease playing with mud pies. He draws an illustration by saying how sad it is when children playing in mud pies, thinking that they've reached the destination when they could be vacationing down by the beach. And how it is with us, sometimes we think we've found the highest pursuit, our own pleasure. But we have one who is the highest and the fullest pursuit, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 19 it says, "God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." We have one recourse. Run to Jesus. Run! Run to Him for your highest pursuit. When tempted, run to Jesus. Seek Him with all your heart. When you're tempted to find things that will decay and will corrupt, run. Turn from your own selfish ambitions and turn to Christ, who is the fullness of God in every way. All the fullness of God dwells in Him. Run. Run to Him and don't look back. God spared nothing For our redemption, he gave his only begotten Son, so how much more will he give us all things? What is it that tempts you the most? Run to Christ in that hour of temptation. Turn from your fruitless terminal pursuits and come. Run. Come to him. Run! May the Lord bless you and keep you as you consider these things and turn to Christ, your sovereign all, for all things. For a fuller exposition of messages like this, I would encourage you to come and visit us at Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship at 1702 Lawton Avenue in Columbus, Indiana. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. May the Lord bless you and keep you.